This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 114. Tom, how's it going?
Well, thank you.
Brilliant. Mm. T-shirt good today, purple.
Yes.
Man in oversized suit.
That is Nathan Fielder from Nathan For You. This is from an episode where he was going on a late night episode with Jimmy Kimmel, and so he concocted an anecdote. He wanted to have the perfect anecdote for the show, and so he fabricates a story that includes ending up with someone else's luggage and being forced to wear a large man's suit.
Nailed it.
To a wedding.
It's pretty enormous.
Yeah, it's large. It ends up that he gets pulled over by a cop and there's some white powder in a pocket.
Mm-mm.
And it ends up being the owner of the suit's father's or mother's ashes that he was transporting. It's all part for this story. It's all for this, so he can
what
have the big
anecdote.
Twist. It's a great anecdote, but he stages the entire thing, makes sure that he goes through with it to actually say it's a true anecdote.
None of it actually was ever going to happen without him.
Oh, it's carefully orchestrated.
Calculating it, yeah.
Yes, he meets the person in advance to exchange luggages so they can put their luggage on the belt at the airport and then swap by accident. Accident. Crazy. But yes, thank you.
Good t-shirt.
Thanks. No one's got it yet.
But when that person does.
Oh, my best friend.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's going to be huge.
I have some really deep. I got some good ones recently. I have one that's Ronald McDonald Duck.
McDonald Duck.
Yeah.
I saw a good one today that was McDowell's.
Oh.
Just the McDowell's logo.
Yeah.
From Coming to America. I thought
nice.
That was good because at first glance people wouldn't get it. But then they'd also go, hang on a second, that's not quite right.
I like a shirt that's a bit, you have to unpack and do a bit of work.
Yeah.
Things with a few references bundled together always appeals to me.
And now, a word from our sponsor. It's the award season, and there's lots of speeches being written in anticipation of getting up on stage and being presented a statue. In this documentary, we follow super-duper A-list famous and really, really good acting actress, Priscilla Darcy, as she works on her surprised speech.
Oh my, I don't even know why I'm writing this silly thing. There's no way I'm going to be winning anything. Not with all the amazingly talented actresses nominated. That's good. I'll add that in and maybe put my hand on my forehead as I do it. Actually, I put the back of my hand on my forehead so it gives off the aura of a possibility that I'll faint from the shock of winning. Honey, there's a reason why I was nominated. So once I win the first award of the season, I'll then change it up by saying, I've not written anything down because I was convinced I wasn't going to win. Then for the next time, I triumphantly walk up on stage. I'll have a little folded up piece of paper. I'll pull out my glasses to show them what I'm just like them. And then I'll read all the names of the people I want to work with again for the Oscars. I'm planning on quoting someone who people love. I've got my team working on finding out who's hot right now, but I don't want someone too controversial. Actually, maybe I should quote an ancient scholar. But then casting agents and directors will realize I'm older than I want them to think I am. Maybe I should just quote Greta Thunberg, because that'll get Leonardo DiCaprio standing up and applauding. That'll get the rest of the room doing it too. Yeah, I'll do that.
Watch speeches. Streaming now.
We'll be doing a quiz that I already know you're going to get two of the answers really, really quickly. Because
right.
Just before we hit record, I think you pretty much said the answer to them without
okay.
You even knowing.
All right.
So, but that's good. That means
that is good.
It's an achievable quiz.
I've been paying attention, maybe.
Maybe you have been.
Oh.
We'll be talking about The Good Place because
so close to the end.
I can't believe it.
I'm kind of not ready.
Have you been looking at Instagram and stuff? They've been, like, the show and the cast have been posting a lot of photos.
I've seen a few, I think it was yesterday, where they were holding up signs of what The Good Place meant to them.
Yeah.
And some were writing friends and things like that, and Chidi just wrote hummus. Hummus, however you choose to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, you can say it either. It could be like woi woi, where you say it twice, but you pronounce it differently both times.
I've heard it both ways.
I wonder what it is. It's probably got a really hard H, like a hummus.
Yeah.
Probably. Lots of news as well. Do you want to crack into the news first?
No.
Okay, I'm going to then. That'll teach you. So the next Doctor from Doctor Who.
Yes.
Not only be female, but will be the first black Doctor from the show, Yeah, I know.
Okay. So she's not the actual Doctor moving forward.
No.
So I was on yesterday's a few days ago's episode.
Yeah. I don't really want to give it away in case a listener has not watched the whole episode, but it looks like her backstory is super weird and interesting for the show moving forward.
So without giving anything away, the best way I can explain this to anyone that's into Doctor Who without spoiling things is that she looks to potentially fulfill like a River Song role, which River Song was a character from a few Doctors ago, but she blended across a couple of them and her timeline was out of sync with the Doctors. So it looks like this sort of thing of maybe she's a potential War Doctor or a Valiant or one of the other Doctors that don't necessarily fit in with the numerical way that we see the Doctor so far.
Mm.
But yes, at some point the Doctor will be an older black lady.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I know. I like the fact that there's a program on that has been going on for years, like the 60s, right?
Yeah.
That can just say, this main character is just going to change all the time and you're all going to be on board with it.
It's a brilliant tactic.
It's so good. I mean, it obviously works, but I wonder how many other shows could do it. No one's really tried it with much success.
Didn't I Dream of Jeannie?
They changed the... Is his name Darren? No, Darren was Bewitched. They had to change Darren.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking, Bewitched.
You get reality shows like The Bachelor and stuff that always change it.
Someone playing the same role that swaps up doesn't really happen often.
Mm-mm.
They've got that happening on DC's Legends of Tomorrow at the moment, the time-traveling thing. Well, they changed the timeline and one of the characters has been swapped with her brother and no one knows.
Oh, so they've actually incorporated like Doctor Who, into the storyline.
And everyone just feels like he's been there since the beginning and they love him and he's super chummy and he doesn't know and it's a timeline ripple that occurred.
I guess another one, to a lesser extent though, Game of Thrones would change actors.
This is true, yes.
But not for main characters. They were sort of supplementary characters.
The Mountain, the
Night King. What was his name? Dario?
Yeah, he changed a lot. And yet the faceless man did not change once.
No, I knew his face the whole entire time. I'm glad you attempted it because I'm not going to. It's
two A's. Starts with a J, two A's, and then a Q. And then there's some other.
Yeah, there's a few other. I think he sprinkled the alphabet in liberally.
Sassier than Peppa Pig. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
What have you got story-wise?
All right, so there's been some new renewals, there's been some cancellations and this sort of stuff. So we'll start with one renewal that made me very happy, which was Making It is being renewed for season 3. No surprises there. Now, we had one season at Christmas, which was great fun, and I think I actually preferred it to the first season. They found their feet a bit.
Okay. I was going to ask why. Yeah.
Well, the first season was great, but this one felt quite assured. But there was 18 months between seasons. Now, I'm assuming a lot of that is because they're both very busy people.
Yeah, there's stuff they need to do.
Finding a spot to line up in both their schedules.
Mm.
But I hope that this doesn't mean that we're going to be waiting another 18 months until the next season.
So they didn't actually say when it was going to happen?
No, it's not locked in. But by doing it at Christmas, and they filmed it with the intention of putting it out at Christmas, gave them some really nice themed episodes, so I could see them trying to do the similar thing this year, or whether it's the same holiday or not, I don't know.
Mm.
But that was very cool. On the flip side, bit of cancellation. So I'll talk about MODOK in a second, which is one of the animated shows coming from Hulu for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
But they had originally four different animated shows that they were going to do that all form up into an Avengers-style one called The Offenders.
Aha, I like it.
And that was going to be MODOK, which is the mental organism designed only for killing.
Catchy title.
Oh, yes. So I'll talk about MODOK in a second, but Hit Monkey, which is a Japanese snow monkey, or it might be a macaque, one of those monkeys that hangs out in the snowfields, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a hitman who's been injured like wanders in and causes the death of all the other monkeys. So this monkey takes the hitman's guns and his suit and becomes Hit Monkey. Uh-huh. It's so dumb. Then there's Tigra and Dazzler. So Tigra is a cat woman, not a cat lady, not someone who likes cats a lot. Like she's
like half cat.
Like Taylor Swift.
Oh, like in Cats.
Yeah, she's like a cat
person. The movie. Yeah, not
and
creepy.
Dazzler is an 80s like disco.
He sounds like he would be.
So it's a lady. She's imagine.
Oh, she would be.
Yes.
She like Jem.
Exactly like Jem. Jem was, I think, based on Dazzler because Dazzler didn't blow up the right way.
Okay.
Dazzler was created, I think, maybe with Dolly Parton or maybe Cyndi Lauper or someone like this, but she's a mutant and she can turn sound into light.
Oh, my gosh, it's so 80s.
Uh-huh. and then the fourth show was going to be Howard the Duck, which...
You're talking about it, yeah.
So Howard the Duck and Tigra and Dazzler have both been cancelled. Before they even really started firing. A lot of this is Kevin Feige is in charge of the TV division now, and so they're clearing house and they're going to focus on the big shows for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And producing a higher level of stuff. But Hit Monkey is going to continue on. They haven't announced too much voice cast with that. I think that's going to be an odd one to cast anyway because Hit Monkey doesn't talk.
Well, then that's cheap, right?
I imagine so, but they've got to have other people talking for the reactions and all this sort of stuff. These are meant to be adult cartoons, so I could see this being very hyper-violent in kind of like an adult version of Samurai Jack or something along those lines. And then MODOK. Let me just bring up the voice cast because I was very impressed with this. So we've known for a while it's being executive produced and starring Patton Oswalt.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Is amazing, and if you don't know him for his awesome comedy... The two places you might know him from is Remy the Rat from Ratatouille, or he was on The King of Queens.
Yeah, he was too. Yeah.
For many, many years.
That's right.
So he's playing MODOK, which, as I mentioned, is the mental organism designed only for killing. He was a low-level like janitor or something for an evil research institute that wear like beekeeper outfits.
It almost sounds a bit like that show. Was it called Future Man or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one I love?
Yeah. He was or still is a janitor.
Yes.
With Peter from Hunger Games.
Here's the problem, though, is that MODOK is not a good guy.
Right.
At all.
Okay.
So he gets, I can't remember if he gets forced into or like falls into this thing that basically turns his head into the size of a car. Okay. And he now has to have this like a little wheelchair that hovers to
needs to hold his head up because his body can't. Yep.
And MODOK talks like this.
Oh, yes.
He's so angry all the time.
I have seen him.
He's so angry.
This character,
all the time. So it's going to be a really fun show. Patton Oswalt is voicing MODOK, which means he's going to be like very depressingly sardonic and this sort of stuff. Amy Garcia is in there. She's from Dexter and Lucifer.
Mm.
Ben Schwartz from Parks and Recreation, John Ralphio. He's going to be playing Lou, which is MODOK's son.
Is he evil?
No.
Okay.
So I can think Scott Evil.
Right, yep.
Yep. So it doesn't respect him at all. Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is in. Wendy McLevin-Covey, who's from Reno 911 and Goldbergs.
I love her.
Yes. Beck Bennett and the two that I'm really excited about. So John Daly is a guy that, not the golfer, you don't know him, but you've seen him in so many things. He's one of those guys that comes in and will be in a scene for a minute or two in a film and do a hilariously funny off-the-wall bit and then disappear and stuff.
I could imagine him being in like a 30 Rock episode.
Yes, he was, I'm sure.
Okay.
I can't think off the top of my head, but yes. So he's playing
a lot of episodes.
He's playing a character called Super Adaptoid, who is kind of like MODOK's servant or butler, robotic butler against his will.
Okay.
Like he's finding sentience and he wants to break out and this sort of stuff. And then Sam Richardson from Detroiters and Veep and all sorts of fun stuff. I'm so stoked for this. So he's playing a character called Gary. And Gary is the loyal henchman. And part of MODOK, his whole deal is that all his henchmen hate him except one.
And that's Gary.
That's Gary.
Good on you, Gary.
Gary's great. And I think he's going to – Deadpool has a character called Bob, who agent of Hydra. Hydra, another evil organization, and he's just a low – it's basically what if a low-level stormtrooper went rogue and followed an idiot? And that's what Gary is going to be, of what if this one idiot followed a big idiot with a giant head.
When idiots combine.
Yes. So no firm date on when that'll be out, but, yeah, that's a big shake-up from Marvel there, because they've basically – they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finishing soon. Mm. This is the last season. So there's nothing they've got on ABC or Netflix anymore. They've pared back all their Hulu stuff, and you know, Cloak and Dagger. And
so will this be on Disney Plus or Hulu?
So this will be on Hulu.
Okay. Because it's more adult.
Yes.
Yeah, I get
it. It may come across eventually, yeah. But I don't know. It's being viewed as its own separate thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We were talking about Game of Thrones just before.
We were.
There's been casting calls for the House of the Dragon, which is the prequel series, based on the book Fire and the Blood. It takes place 300 years before the start of the original show. And, well, at least in the book, it read very much like it was supposed to be sort of an historical encyclopedia.
Okay.
Which I wasn't really down with about the rule of House of Targaryen. So this new show has a couple of showrunners. One guy, Ryan Condal, worked, I think he wrote for Colony. And then director Miguel Sapochnik, I think is how you pronounce his name. Now, he was the guy that directed episodes like Hard Home, which is where Jon Snow fights up in the, well, north against the... That's the first time he actually sees the Night King, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And the Night King makes everybody, all the dead rise.
Yeah.
Like he did in it. And he also directed Battle of the Bastards, so
sure.
He was
good
busy.
Good pedigree.
Yeah, good pedigree. The show's definitely starting at the beginning because the casting call wants Aegon Targaryen, which was the first one. He was the one that came flying over from Dragonstone to Westeros and was like, I think I'm going to be in charge of Westeros now.
This is mine.
Yeah, and everybody went, I don't know, we've got like this thing going on where we're all quite content. And he said, yeah, but I've got a dragon and so do my two sister wives. So they also want Visenya and Rhaenys, which were his sister wives. And they'll be, of course, blonde, blue-eyed, well, purple-eyed, but, you know, riding dragons. So there's going to be lots of dragons in it. So starting from the beginning. And I found that book a hard slog.
So I haven't read that. I have no interest in reading that. But from what you just described, that makes me nervous because I struggle to I love Harry Potter. You know, I love Harry Potter. I struggle to watch those Fantastic Beasts films.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're based on a 45-page manual that she threw together about some crazy animals.
There's just a lot of dragons in this, which is fine, but we know the outcome of dragons.
That's just it.
We know they don't exist anymore, and that's why it was amazing that her dragons. We will find out where her dragons are from, though.
Okay. I don't care.
I can tell you in two sentences. I won't on here, but I can tell you in two sentences.
This is what I'm saying. If we're going to do that, if you want to make a show about that, make it about the death of dragons. Because that is something interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they're going to lean towards.
I hope it is.
And less about, there were just so many Targaryens. I would lose, like some of the dragons had several different dragon riders.
Okay.
Because they live for way longer than Targaryens do.
Sure.
There was one interesting dragon rider who wasn't a Targaryen. And I would like to see that being a main character and storyline. But I would also, if I want to think about it, I would like to see Arya Stark. At the end of Game of Thrones, she was going off to go and adventure in parts unknown. I would like to see those parts unknown, if I get a choice of what we get to see in Game of Thrones world afterwards. But no, it's not up to me.
I'd like to see a cooking show with Hodor.
Yes!
Hodor.
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 It's like the Swedish chef and the Muppets. What else have you got?
All right. So this one, there's some whispers going around that something big is happening for Netflix. Charlie Brooker, the man behind Black Mirror, and many other things that I love. From apart from that, he quit his he and his writing partner, they both quit their Endemol Shine company, House of Tomorrow. And this is only just coming out now, but they actually left at the end of last year.
Right.
And this has been their, like, grace period or whatever you call it, the cool down. And there's a lot of talk that in the next few days there'll be a big Netflix deal announced, which makes a lot of sense after Bandersnatch and trying to do some really creative things. That's what he's into. Like messing with formats and stuff.
And you know, the fact that Black Mirror's been on Netflix for how many seasons now? I mean, I know you can watch all of them on there, but maybe two?
Oh, at least, I think.
With Bandersnatch. When did they start having American stories? Was that the second season?
It's either second or third season. Mm. I think third season was full Netflix.
Yeah, right. But I would love to see him doing stuff outside of Black Mirror, like a series where the story continues over several episodes.
I want him to do Screen Wipe again. And just,
I remember you talking about that. Oh yeah.
Can you imagine how much fun he would have if he had open access to all of Netflix's library to do a monthly takedown on everyone else?
I think they would be on board with that too.
It would be very therapeutic for the man. He has a lot of anger that needs to be released. So I can see it going a lot of different ways. Hopefully as well that he can bring a lot of his usual writers and performers with, both from the Black Mirror side to do that stuff, but also from the comedy world. That he
so we're going to have John Hamm and and we're fine with that.
And Philomena Kunk.
Oh, yeah, she's great. Uh-huh. Good accent too. Yeah. I don't know what part of England that's from.
I can't remember. She talks about Diane. She talks about it. How similar it is to her actual accent, but that she heard a few farmers once and was like, oh.
Yeah, I think I can do that.
That's my comedy voice. That's it, okay. So, yeah, keep watching this space. And
sounds good.
Something very exciting will probably be announced 2 days before it comes on air, if even gets announced.
That's how they roll. Mm.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I wanted your take on this. Because I'm not sure if he's trolling or if he's just, like, told us something. Because, as we know, The Walking Dead comic finished, what, halfway through last year?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't read the comic. Well, I've read, like, the first two. Mm. There was no answer to what caused the virus, right? But there was an episode. Is that what you call them?
An issue.
Issue, thank you. I believe it was number 75, where there was an alternative ending.
Yeah.
Where actually aliens were trying to take over the world and they spread the thing, right? So anyway, Robert Kirkman answered someone's tweet to him where the person basically said, so what actually, the comic's finished, what actually caused the zombie apocalypse? And he just said in two words, Spaceball.
So that
is he trolling?
Yes. When he originally pitched the series to Image Comics, they were like, yeah, but what happens? And he's in the meeting, to just get it across the line, he's like, oh, like the end of issue 6 or something like that, maybe even issue 1, aliens are going to show up and they've what's caused this outbreak and there's going to be fighting zombies and aliens. And it got
they
to
loved
the,
it.
Well, they loved the idea and bought it on the spot. And then he finished issue 6 and sent in the script for it and they were working on it. And one of the editors or bosses was like, hey, when are the aliens showing up? He's like, oh, they're not coming. And then, like, openly told them that was just his sales pitch.
I was lying
idea.
To you.
Yeah. He said, we don't need those. Just you see those sales? We don't need the aliens.
It would make a nice explanation. And because The Last of Us, it wasn't space spores, but it was spores that were causing the zombie outbreak in that game, I should say. So
I'm very certain that's just him being flippant.
Because it's always, like, the fact that we're already, well, in that universe, everybody's already infected with it before they die.
He's got another comic at the moment called Oblivion Song, which is about tears in reality to another dimension, and that's got space spores.
Okay.
So it's something.
It's his thing.
It's his thing.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
That's okay.
Because I saw that story and I went, I don't know enough about the comic history. I need to talk to Tom about it. Cool. All right. Spaceballs, probably not a thing.
No.
Damn it.
But Star Trek continues to grow, so Picard has kicked off. Haven't caught it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things. I'm pretty pumped for that. Weirdly, when I was at Universal Studios Hollywood last year, they were doing some filming, and I was like, oh, and I knew what things were shooting there at the moment. I was like, is it this? And the tour guide was actually like, actually, they're filming Picard. And I'm like, oh, can I go and watch? He's like, no.
He's like, if you hadn't have asked me and just snuck in, potentially.
Oh, no, it was like way in the back. I'd have to get off the train.
Yeah, right, okay.
All this sort of stuff. But I was very open with, he's like, we can't tell you what's filming here. And I was like, I know what's filming in there and and there. What's that one?
And he just said it.
Yeah. I was like, is that, actually, I said, is that Good Place?
Ah, okay.
Because it was very close to the Good Place neighborhood. Yes. Anyway, speaking of Star Trek, I don't know. Why did I went on a ramble there?
Spaceballs.
Picard, yes. There's a Star Trek animated series coming called Star Trek Prodigy for Nickelodeon, which is an unusual place for it. It's from the producers of Lego Ninjago, which has been going for many, many years. Not just the movie. I don't know how involved they were with the movie, but the TV show. Been very, very financially successful. 2021 earliest. Don't know anything more than that.
Okay.
Don't know when it's set. Don't know if it's going to be, you know, maybe it's the teenage adventures of Spock and Picard, or like a crazy mixture of characters across things, and they're getting ready and they've got to do that. I'm trying to stall because I can't remember what the name of the test that Shatner Kobayashi Maru, I think it is.
Do you want me to tell you a side story whilst you think about it?
No, I'm happy to say, right, I want to hear your side story.
Okay.
But if there's any Star Trek people listening that are angry at me right now, please correct me.
Yeah.
But I want to go with Kobayashi Maru. I don't think it's right, but that's what I'm going
with.
You
feel like it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about Picard, and
yes.
I saw that Patrick Stewart had asked Whoopi Goldberg on, is it still The View?
I can't believe that show's on. I've not been sick in a long time to stay home and watch.
Anyway, he asked her to be on whatever the next installment of Star Trek is. So I was intrigued to see.
So that will be season two of Picard.
Cool.
Because it's all about bringing characters back. So
she
Brent Spiner's
really...
back as Data.
Oh, okay.
And
she got really like emotional about it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the little snippet.
Look, Riker came back, and Jonathan Frakes does not act anymore.
Yeah,
and
right.
He has like anxiety about acting and didn't want to come back.
Oh,
and
wow. Okay.
So there's been this whole story of Patrick Stewart has approached every cast member, returning cast member personally, to ask them to join the universe again. So rather than just being the producers reaching out or, hey, we want you to come and do this, it's a, I'm getting the band back together, both on and off screen.
Why is this not a documentary for Netflix or something? Because I would watch that.
They'll be filming it. There's a documentary on Star Trek everything.
Okay.
There's a documentary on the Star Trek spoof Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's called Never Surrender. It's in my queue. I'm going to watch it and let everyone know because it looks good fun.
That would be great. I've got a non-Star Trek story.
Good, I've had enough Star Trek stories.
To celebrate the Goodies' 50th anniversary, the Bristol Slapstick Festival asked like a whole heap of people who went along to vote for their favourite Goodies episode.
Oh.
Do you want to know what one?
Yep. That sounds really cool.
And I bet you it's not the one you think it's going to be. It was Kung Fu Capers, the one with Ecky Thump,
okay.
The black puddings. Like the big boss man of the festival, he was surprised because he was sure it was going to be Kitten Kong. You know the one with the kitten?
Yeah.
And I kind of, when I think of Goodies, I think of that one, even though I'm sure I've only seen that episode once, but I've seen others hundreds of times. Anyway, Graham Garden was there and he said he expected Kitten Kong to win. He said, that's kind of the one that people remember, but Kung Fu Capers is a worthy winner. There were some nice set pieces. He said, it was a bit of parody. There's one or two gags in there that were very, very much of their time, you think. And he said, filming the fighting sequences, he said, I don't think anybody got hurt, which is kind of miraculous. I love that show. I should probably watch it again. I think I've got it on DVD.
I have not seen that in 25 years or something like that.
As a kid,
everywhere.
It was what kids in Australia used to watch.
Mm.
The funny thing was when it was actually out in the UK, it was a nighttime program for adults.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's Benny Hill-ish.
Yeah, Benny Hill-ish without as much smut.
That's right.
The smut was probably more like Tim Brooke Taylor walking around in his Union Jack undies. Didn't he have knee protectors as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Like modesty. Anyway, funny show. Very funny. Yeah, so Ecky Thump won.
Yes, we really quacked at the principal. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Any other stories?
I've got one last one.
Me too.
Okay, good, because you mentioned something that you watched that we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah.
Everyone's obviously very concerned about viruses at the moment. Not everyone, but you know.
Spaceballs.
There's a lot of talk about it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Seth Rogen loves adapting comics. We know this. He's done Preacher and The Boys, and he's involved in a lot of different ones. So he is going to be executive producing another one from a great author named James Tynan IV.
Mm-hmm.
And this comic is called Mimetic, and I think it's going to be a film. Makes more sense as a film. It's about the idea of a weaponized meme.
Do go on. I'm intrigued.
So a meme basically is just an idea that spreads virally, and that's how we see it act on social media and this sort of stuff. Someone puts up a joke and it spreads all through, blah, blah, blah. This is the idea of what if you could lace something within that so that it, you know, made people very suggestible.
This has got like mirror aspects to it.
Massively so. So it's a 3-issue comic, and it starts with this, I think it's called the Good Time Sloth or the Happy Smile Sloth or something. It's a sloth image that gets sent out, and then within 12 hours, most people who see this, it scrambles their brain and they become not cannibals, but just not rage zombies. They're not out to eat necessarily. They're just out to destroy.
Wow. Okay.
And rip everything apart. And so the world falls apart.
I'm intrigued.
Very, very quickly. However, there are people that are immune, people that don't have smartphones, people that are colorblind, people that are
Luddites.
All sorts of people are left. It's not so much about this story in the comic doesn't go long enough to deal with the aftermath. But I could see a film or a TV show going longer about people coming back together. But it's about a colorblind gay artist looking for his boyfriend as all this falls apart.
Mm.
And you can't use a phone to try and find anyone to communicate and this sort of stuff. Because it's part of technology now. It's within the information network. So very, very clever, cool idea.
Yeah, I like this.
This writer has written a few other, I will call them meme-etic books of ideas of other ways that the world could fall apart through tech. Again, very Black Mirror-ish.
Mm.
He's the current writer of Batman, so he's not a small dude doing weird stuff. He comes up with strange ideas and will do 3 or 4 issues of them at a small publisher and just get them out there. And now he's selling them off and doing quite well.
So did you say this is potentially going to be a movie or a show?
I believe the idea is to be a movie, but I think almost everything that Rogan has produced that's become a TV show started out intended to be a movie.
Okay. I kind of like it more as a limited series where if it's only a 3-book comic, then maybe a mini series, like 3 episodes. Yeah,
I could see it being a really solid mini series because there's no – I'm trying to dance around. There are some really good twists in there, but I don't think that this – universe necessarily goes the way of World's End, the one with Simon Pegg and stuff, where you do get a snapshot of the aftermath. I don't know if this world
has a afterwards.
Deserves. It gets horrible pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very adult.
There was a book that I read a few years ago that was about people whose lives had been ruined by something or a joke or a comment or
online.
Sure. It was a really good book. It was a quick read. It wasn't very long.
I remember that. I didn't read it, but I remember that book.
It's kind of – it reminds me a little bit of that, but with, you know, like an apocalyptic.
Was it partly about that woman who went on the plane to Africa?
And she's like, I hope I don't get – what did she say?
She said, I'm going to Africa. I hope I don't get AIDS.
Yeah. And then she landed in Africa and people hated her by the time she got off the plane. Yeah. When viral goes right. Yeah. It's about the aftermath of her and a few other people. I can't remember what it's called. If you remember, the Watchers podcast at gmail.com.
And this comic is at least probably 5 years old or something like that.
Okay.
So it's right when Black Mirror was.
Yeah.
Probably peaking.
Of that time.
Very much of that time, but kind of very prescient about how social media has behaved and it continues to get more evil.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I hate you.
I've got a feel-good story for us then.
Oh, good. Wrap me in a blanket.
I've actually already told Linz about this because I thought she needed to know the second I found out.
Oh.
looks like Emilio Estevez is signed on for that Mighty Ducks TV show that's coming to Disney Plus.
He found a gap in his schedule.
He's really busy schedule.
Something just opened up.
Yeah, yeah.
Call back my agent. I've moved things.
I've moved things around. So there were three movies, yeah, I think?
Yes. The first one we know of.
Yeah, yeah. It might be like Home Alone where there were 450 of them, but we only stopped at two. Well, I did. I think you watched the third one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They get a lot of play in our house.
So 1992 is when the first one came out. I have no memory of how the third one ended. I'm pretty sure I did watch it, but I was reading an article on Screen Rant and they sort of suggested that the third movie really wrapped up his story, like the coach's storyline for coaching the Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
And that seemed like an end. But obviously not, right? Because let's get this franchise to continue.
Oh, you can always untangle a narrative.
Always, every time. People have done it a lot recently. So 10 episodes of half-hour episodes that he'll be one of the main characters. We already knew that it was going to be based around a 13-year-old boy who's booted from the Mighty Ducks hockey team.
All right. Can I jump in?
Yes.
And I want to give you let's play a fun game
of
different synopses for different networks.
Brilliant.
So let me guess on how the story would go for different networks of how they get him back.
Do you want me to give you the networks?
No.
You've got them in your head?
We'll start off. Like, if this was on HBO, they'd be getting them back because the team is in dire financial straits and he comes into some money and so chooses to buy the team. So he's not coach, he's now owner.
Ooh.
So he gets to kind of have one up on his father and complete that full cycle. But an HBO, it's a focus on the financial struggles of bringing it back and the kids playing are in the background.
Entourage-y sort of thing.
If this is on Disney Channel.
Yes. Not Plus, Channel.
Yeah. Then he has his own entrance music when he comes into any scene and everyone laughs and he gets to make poor
catchphrases.
Catchphrases. Not even jokes, just catchphrases.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, I'm out of here. Or not even actual catchphrases, just phrases.
If I remember, I'm going to stick an audience cheering right here.
Yes.
No, you say a catchphrase that he might say and then I'll put the audience cheering in.
You guys quack me up.
I think that's appropriate. What about something like MTV or like E would have a reality show?
Okay, so in that case, it's kind of like a behind the scenes wrestling thing where he's a Vince McMahon style manager.
Yeah.
And we get glimpses into the behind the scenes locker room of how these people behave.
Mm.
And he has high expectations of them. They don't always match up.
You know that show would be so popular.
So good.
People would watch it.
Yeah.
What about AMC? It'd have to have Norman Reedus in it at one point. Just make sure he's in it at least once a season and that they'd get signed on.
I think if it was AMC, it would be a haunted ice hockey rink. Norman Reedus would voice the haunted hockey puck.
Oh, I thought he would be the haunted Zamboni.
Oh, well, see, both of them can make great noises.
Yeah.
Special guest star, Norman Reedus as Bernie.
So they're going to start filming that in Vancouver in March. So I'm assuming, I don't know how long it takes for that kind of TV show to be filmed. Maybe 6 months?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. They'll probably do how many episodes?
Only 10. And Disney Plus seems to put them out weekly.
Yeah. It depends on whether they're doing six-day or 10-day episode cycles, how long they'll take.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know what their budget is.
I'm going to send Emilio Estevez a text message right now.
And I was
sure
like,
he'd reply.
Emilio! And there he was, Mighty Duck Man himself. Oh, man, I want to watch Night at the Roxbury again now. Do you remember that movie?
Yes. I remember the skits from Saturday Night Live.
I watched that movie so many damn times.
I'm trying to think who.
Chris Kattan was the other guy.
Yeah, that's right. He used to play Mango as well.
Yes.
That was an interesting character.
He was of his time.
Yeah, he certainly was.
You go back and check out some of the other stuff. He was in another movie that was really bad.
Was it another
Corky
one?
Romano.
Oh, Corky Romano.
Oh, my
Romano.
God.
Yeah,
how does my brain work?
I'm sure that was a skit too, right?
Yep. cocky remark.
I hope he invested well in real estate or something.
That joke was so funny. Last time I heard it, I nearly fell off my dinosaur. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We got a quiz coming up for you very soon. Should we crack into what we've been watching?
Yes, please.
So we were talking about viruses and stuff. And I have been watching a little bit, of the program on Netflix called Pandemic. And they released that at a really interesting time with the coronavirus. And yes, I always do think of Corona.
Oh, they must be like so pissed off at the damage to their brand.
Yeah. Should I have Corona or should I have Soul? So they're not in Pandemic, they're not talking about that virus because they'd made it way before.
Sure, I don't know yet.
Yeah, I've watched 4 episodes. It interests me, and then at times I'm like, oh, I think I've got the general vibe of this and I may not need to continue. Mm. But I know people are going to love it and probably already loving it.
So is it a drama or a doco series? Yeah, so this is, I'm already out.
So it's following several different people who are from all over the world. They do focus on a few people from America who were in charge of basically making sure that the flu virus and these kind of swine and all the other SARS viruses don't just take over and ruin everybody, all nations.
Is this like World War Z, the book, the prequel?
It sort of almost is.
Okay.
A little bit.
I'm back being a bit more interested.
Yeah.
I think it's way too heavy for me to wrap my head around.
It is.
Because that stuff, I'm legitimately terrified.
That's one of the reasons why I've only watched 4 episodes. Because it's like, this is too real. And if these people don't exist, then we're in big trouble. And I'm really happy that they are invested in this. And they're people from all over the world. There was a really interesting guy from Egypt who is of Lebanese heritage. And he goes back to Lebanon often to like do tests on bats and chickens and humans, like farmers, just to check to see if everything's okay there. And I'm thinking, if you guys were not around, this could sweep so much faster than it already has been doing, like with the coronavirus. But there was this second episode where kids playing in a yard and it said something like Portland, Oregon or something. And it was a mother who homeschools her kids and she is very anti-vaccination and was annoyed that if her kids wanted to play basketball within the state, they had to have vaccinations.
Yes.
And she was really not happy with that. Then you've also got like doctors who are saying, well, it's very important that if a flu virus does break out, that kids have been at least vaccinated.
Vaccinate your damn kids.
Yeah.
Sorry if that offends anyone listening, but I'm not sorry. Vaccinate your kids. Don't be an idiot. Come on, soon we'll get microchips and it'll be awesome.
We'll just get the laser beam eyes. I love having laser beam eyes. That's my favorite.
It's legitimately on my list, my bucket list. I want to have a chip in my eye so I can have a HUD that tells me everyone's names when I see them.
Like Google Glass, but
not like Terminator.
Oh, right, okay.
Like I walk around the room and it tells me someone's name and gives me maybe not a rating, but like worth it or nah.
Little anecdote.
Yeah.
Likes basketball.
Really into Good Place.
Yeah. Right,
let's have a chat. You know what I mean? How handy would that be?
You'd never have to remember anything.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching?
So I watched 2 game shows that I'm going to bundle together.
Yeah, go on.
Even though they're not particularly alike.
Ooh. Oh, what's going on here?
I'm putting them together because they have similar names. One is called Spy Games.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a reality series competition with judges from someone from the FBI, someone from the CIA, and someone maybe from SEAL or something along these lines.
Okay, this has got me interested.
And it's 10 ordinary people who believe they have the inclination to be James Bond put in some ridiculous situations.
This is cool.
Yeah, and it's not a yuck yuck funny thing. Like that, some of them are very funny and use humor as one of their tools.
Mm.
One of the first situations is they get all glammed up. So, you know, 3-piece suits for the guys, ball gowns for the ladies.
Mm.
And they have an event that they have to go to.
Mm.
But first they have to camp and trek 5 kilometres or something overnight.
Almost like Bear Grylls kind of thing.
Yes.
Mm.
and still arrive to the event looking put together, not stinking, all this sort of stuff, so you can blend in. And then when you get to this event, it's like a schmooze event, you have to have someone give you their number without you asking for it. And so some of them, you know, some of them are jump in. There's one lady that just instantly, you're a musician. Oh, that's great. Look, I'm with this record label, blah, 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 and spins the story. And the woman's instantly like, here's my car.
Quick, have my phone.
Yes. Amazing. So there's that. And then there's one lady who's obviously going to be the, femme du jour, is that the saying? Femme fatale.
Yes, femme fatale, yes.
The femme fatale character who goes and uses her feminine wiles to very quickly get a number from a guy at the bar.
How quickly?
Within a minute. Something like this. And then there's one guy who's a prison psychologist who just starts buying everyone at the bar just drinks and gets photos with them and says, oh, I'm going to put them on social, and keeps saying that until he finds someone who doesn't have social media. So
has to get
the number to exchange the photo.
Impressive.
Very clever. He is not that clever, though, because he does that many shots with everyone at the bar. He ends up blind drunk, very belligerent, and the show does not go well for him, this first episode.
He's not the winner. Just
no.
Spoiler, but true.
But whilst all this is going on, kind of like the mole, everyone has a secret.
Oh, so that the other people don't know it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they've all got to live in a very fancy mansion together and work together, but they can't trust each other.
Ooh.
So there's a whole lot of stuff brewing in the background. I'm pretty into this show. This first episode was really good fun.
That sounds intriguing.
That was really good.
What was it called again?
Spy Games.
How is this not a big...
I don't know. It just was kind of buried there on iTunes. I found it. It's one episode in so far. I think another one comes out today or tomorrow or something.
Very impressive.
Good fun. The other one that I quite enjoyed was called Brain Games. Now, this Brain Games have been around a while. This is a new retooled, rebooted, whatever you want to call it, season 7. Mm. It's hosted by Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele.
Yep.
It is celebs, so one or two celebs per episode coming on, and they do mental games with them. They have a guy who's a mentalist, so he can predict, he can... You know, his whole thing is that he has never in his life lost a game at Paper, Scissors, Rock.
Because he's...
And one of the rounds is play Paper, Scissors, Rock with him.
And how'd he go?
It's the reason why he's got that title. Because he can just look in your eyes and know
stuff.
And
he knows what, yeah.
Yes. Mm. I know bits and pieces of how some of that stuff is done, but he's very, very good. Anyway, the first episode the stars on are Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. And it is male
That'd
versus
be
female.
Fun.
And they get really into it because Dax, of course, has been hosting the Spin the Wheel.
Yep.
And they are a cheesy couple who love doing game shows. So they get really, really into it and get very competitive with one another.
Oh, about my who's goodness, the smarter I want to see this too.
So that's episode one. And episode two, which is about mental gymnastics, is Ted Danson. And it's Ted Danson being full on just like, he's halfway to Jeff Goldblum. Like,
is
he? Yeah, he's becoming a character. Like,
yeah, right.
This very suave older gentleman on a different wavelength.
Yeah.
So he brings that and it's really good fun.
Wow.
He has a lot of fun on the show. One of the final rounds is called the Gauntlet, and you get tied in like a gyrosphere. Remember those things?
Yes.
And so you get spun in this.
I don't want to be part of that.
While you're holding a pitcher of water. And it's not spinning you violently or fast, but it's spinning you very slowly, and you've got to tip a pitcher of water into a cup on the ground and see how much. And there's whole statistics of how women are better at it than men.
Why?
And something to do with the height mixed with equilibrium in your ears or something.
Weird. Yeah,
I don't know.
Super weird.
But men can't do it, and this show shows that really clearly of the women can – no problems. And guys, all over the place.
How bizarre.
Yeah. So that's Brain Games.
That's a couple of fun.
I really enjoyed both of them and I'll be continuing on with them.
All right. Well, I have been having a look through some of the movies on Disney Plus, the older movies.
Sure. There's plenty there to
choose from. I'll just give a couple of little shout outs to a couple of them. I watched Three Men and a Baby. I will be watching Three Men and a Little Lady, but not yet. So Ted Danson's in that.
He sure is. Make sure you tell Shay. She's a big fan of them.
They're good movies. Very funny. I thought it held up. I hadn't watched it for years and years and years.
Ted Danson. Gutenberg?
Yep, Steve Gutenberg. And
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, who plays, he's more like the main character.
Oh, yeah. Out of those three, he's the main character anyway. You put those three men in a room, he's instantly the alpha. Ted Danson and Steve Guttenberg sit down.
Especially Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
But even Ted, no, you're right. I just, at the time, I remember Ted Danson was on Cheers and he was like the main character, the leading guy.
Sure.
And then he was not in, anyway, compared to Magnum P.I. Yeah.
So, look, at the time, right, you've got, I don't know, Tom Selleck, did he have any movies out by then?
Mm.
Or was it just Hawaii Five-O? Because you get Ted Danson coming over from TV, you got Tom Selleck. And Gutenberg.
Gutenberg had done stuff like Police Academy and Cocoon.
Was he somehow the biggest of the three?
Man. Yeah, I think he was.
I'm thinking the poster. Isn't Gutenberg in the middle, isn't he? No, you've got to put Tom Selleck in the middle with the moustache. The moustache needs to be in the middle for poster polarity.
But I also watched, you were talking about Seth Green before. Well, referenced him. I watched Big Business, which I'd never seen before. That's the one with Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin where they're twins. So there's two sets of twins who have been switched at birth, and one lives in the country and they're the hicks, and the other lives in the city in New York and they're like the bigwigs and they're trying to demolish the town that the...
Sorry. Can you go back and explain the twins thingy?
All right. So what happens is...
Yes.
The rich city parents,
yes,
the mother goes into labor as they're on their way to somewhere,
yeah,
and she has to give birth in a small country town,
okay,
hospital.
Yes.
At the same time that a poor family who live in the town are also in labor about to have a baby.
Yes.
They both mothers have twins.
Yes.
But the absent-minded nurse at the hospital puts one twin, so let's call them Twin Jones.
That is the most negligent thing I've ever heard.
I was confused for some of it. I'm like, so are these, have they switched them?
That's not you mixed up the twins. You mixed up one of each twin intentionally.
And nobody noticed. So you've got two, so you've got Bette, who's supposed to be a twin with Bette, but she's not. She's her twin with Lily Tomlin, and that's where the mixing up happened.
So I apologise for putting a very halted brake on your explanation there, but I was, I don't know if you could see
genuinely
my
face,
I was
confused.
Genuinely stuck on how does that work. Like I get the, I got mismatched twins,
mismatched
I get.
Mismatched twin, bit love, of Freaky Friday kind of thing.
I love a bit of DeVito and Schwartz together.
Yeah, of course.
I get that, but you're saying they've gone, hang on, here's the idea, right? Now, what if we do switched at birth twice?
Topsy-turvy. And it was almost like they were trying to get the characters of both country and city folk to match their country city folk real twin version, but didn't quite work. And I was a little bit confused, but it was just a fun movie.
Okay.
But compared to Three Men and a Little Baby or Baby or whatever it was, can't match it.
Here's my big question.
Yeah.
You said Seth Green. Where's he in the mix?
So he is Bette Midler's son, who constantly just wants toys and comic books all the time.
So he's Seth Green.
He's Seth Green.
Yeah.
He's so young, though. I've never seen him in anything where he's that young.
Didn't he kick off at like five or something?
He must have, because he's in this movie. But he still acts like Seth Green. That's how I knew it was him. I was like, where's that voice? His voice hadn't broken, but it sounded exactly the same.
I feel like Seth Green at some point screamed at his agent for not getting him the role of Shermanator in the American Pie films.
Yes, he would have been perfect.
He's just so prevalent in everything at that time. I should have been the Shermanator.
Not to be in that. He only was in Can't Hardly Wait.
He was.
There was no other teen movie he was in. I mean, he was in Rat Race was a couple of years later.
He was on Buffy.
Oh, and he was in Austin Powers stuff.
Yes. He was also in Idle Hands with Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
That movie does not hold up as well as I hoped. And
it's a shame.
It got under my skin when I was younger. So I was like, I'm not going to watch that again. And then I got a bit older and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll watch that again.
Give it a go. Was he in 10 Things I Hate About You? Maybe not. He might have been a little older for that.
That was a Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I don't know, maybe it was.
Heath Ledger.
I can't remember either. Was he in Clueless? No.
No, it was that other guy.
Brecken Meyer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he was the skateboarder.
Yeah, and Brecken Meyer, he was in Road Trip.
And Rat Race. Yeah.
It all comes back to bloody rat race.
It's a great one for 6 degrees of separation.
It's got everybody.
Yeah. It's like the Ocean's movies. You need to know all of the people from those two. Mm. Anything else that you've been watching before we get into The Good Place?
If we're talking about films, they've got a lot of people in it. I've got one.
Yeah.
Let me try that again because my brain stopped. If you like that, I've got a good one for you. I saw Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Hey, okay. So I remember watching the original one, which was a few years after all the Kevin Smith movies.
Yes. It was when the Kevin Smith hype was starting to die down a bit.
Mm.
And everyone was accusing him of cashing in on his old ideas, which is entirely the point of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, was that his creative well had run dry. Well, this one continues that notion and reboots the first film so much that like it intentionally cycles through the same things.
Impressive.
It's quite well done.
Okay.
It's not an Oscar-worthy film by any thing.
I wouldn't think so.
But I had a really good time with this movie.
You had a chuckle?
Yes. So my mate Stu came over. We've seen plenty of the viewer-skew Kevin Smith films before and we've gone and seen him live.
Mm.
If you don't care for Kevin Smith, don't bother watching this movie.
Okay.
It's that simple. But if you've enjoyed any of his films, this one was great. And this was made after he had his heart attack on stage. And so he has been very open. He basically guilt-tripped everyone that's ever been in one of his movies before to come back and do something in this film.
He wouldn't have to guilt-trip Jason, though.
No, Jason, and he's got some pretty great stuff.
Yeah.
So his stuff, they kind of revisit different characters that tie up different movies. So his visit is all about Mallrats. And Brody is now running a comic book store in the mall, which is dead because malls are dead now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has a shrine to Stan Lee in the background and all this sort of stuff. It was lovely. There were some really surprising cameos. I won't spoil any of the others, but I will talk about one in that he gets Ben Affleck back, which, you know, he kind of was there very early on. He helped Good Will Hunting get made. Kevin Smith was involved in the background on that. But, got him in Chasing Amy and Mallrats before that.
Yeah, he was in Dogma.
Yes. So those two had a falling out.
Was it because of the movie with Jennifer Lopez?
I think it was partly Jennifer Lopez and also Jennifer Garner did not like Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay.
And even though they've been broken up a few years now, Kevin never thought to call and, you know, this sort of stuff. So they weren't sure whether and someone put the two in contact.
Yeah.
And basically said, stop being children.
Huh.
And within 10 minutes of talking to each other, Kevin Smith had written a whole scene for him to come film. And so everything with Ben Affleck is clearly filmed on one day in one location, but is beautifully done.
Mm.
And you are watching two genuine old friends come back together for the first time in years.
Oh, nice.
So it puts all this, there's a bit of magic in this one particular scene. It's all about fatherhood and the way how, you know, this is connected with me, but becoming a father somehow makes you not the hero in your own story anymore. And it's Ben Affleck telling the story, and he does it in such a way that only Kevin Smith could write for him. But it's a story of how you grow up thinking you're Batman, and then when you become a parent, you become Thomas Wayne.
Mm.
Or, you know, if you're a woman, you become the mother. I can't remember Batman's mother.
Mm.
And Jay pipes up and goes, Martha. And that joke killed me because that is the key pivotal moment of Batman vs Superman, that movie, was they stop fighting because they both find out their mother's named them Martha.
Right.
So it's this long, convoluted joke to get Martha in there and stuff. But very, very clever of casting Ben Affleck to be telling a story of growing up and you think you're Batman, but then you're not Batman anymore. And then you become Thomas Wayne. And like, there are so many layers of jokes going on in this one scene. It was really well done.
That's impressive.
It's cheesy as all hell. Silent Bob clearly doesn't talk a lot. He does at certain points.
Yeah, he does sometimes in the movies.
But he's so hammy.
Yeah, like
Kevin Smith making
the
faces,
facial expressions, that's all he can do.
I know, and he's so good at them.
The character that he created.
Yes, so I had a lot of fun with the film. If you liked any of the other films, it's great. If you don't care for his particular style of things,
don't.
You won't enjoy this. But if you've liked any of the others, there's a good chance you'll get a tickle out of this one.
Amazing.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or... Hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
The Good Place. We've talked about a few people from The Good Place so far in this episode. We've only got one episode of The Good Place left ever.
I kept waiting for the shoe to drop in this episode, and the shoe doesn't drop, really.
No.
It dropped. Well, there was a big drop that, you know, spoilers ahoy and all that, but that heaven's busted too. But that's not really a surprise because everything else has been busted.
It was pretty obvious.
Of course.
Yeah.
Patty, Lisa Kudrow.
With her Stardust milkshakes.
That does sound pretty good.
I've got the math on my shirt.
So this episode, it rubbed a lot of people, well, not a lot, but it rubbed some people the wrong way because the whole resolution of opening the door and moving on yourself, a lot of people were like, is this encouraging euthanasia? Is this? No.
Mm.
You know, it's a philosophical question and it's something that's been there from the very beginning of Michael. The way that she stopped, when Michael has that existential crisis in season one and becomes like a 80s cokehead business guy, anyone from Die Hard, basically, she stops that downward spiral by saying to him, you got to understand, life only has meaning to humans because it's final. Yeah. It has an ending. Yeah. You can't appreciate things without an ending. So it's a really nice way of actually tying back to something they said right at the very beginning. Mm. It's not saying... Go kill yourselves.
Mm. No, I didn't get that.
Oh, I'm in groups.
Oh, yeah.
And discussions and things. Yeah. And some very
people
stroking their beard and just wanting to play devil's advocate.
I just need to have a good ponder.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that there was not much in the first, probably not first half, but the first maybe third of it, it seemed very empty, and I was sure that we weren't going to see anybody because there would be nobody in there.
Mm.
And then when we did, there weren't that many people. And of course, we know that they're all pretty dumb now. And I'm just intrigued to see what I think is going to happen is that all of them will help Michael and they will stay there as the boss people of The Good Place indefinitely.
I think it plays out two ways. One is that we get, because it's meant to be an hour long or something, we get an hour spent with these people living out their wildest fantasies and then one by one choosing to leave through the door, and that will make it a tearjerker of an episode.
Mm.
And maybe one person stays behind to keep the lights on.
Mm.
Or, and the one I think it might be more about with what they've been saying with Michael over the last few episodes, maybe this is about helping Michael choose to take the door because he's lived all that life and he doesn't fit in there. He won at the end. He doesn't have, you know, he keeps referring to Sisyphus and pushing the rock up the hill and this sort of stuff. Maybe that idea of what they used to threaten that you'd be flambéed across 900 different planets throughout the universe. Maybe that will become an enticing prospect to him.
And yeah.
What happens when a demon passes on?
Yeah, because he's been threatened to be obliterated several times.
Mm.
So, yeah, interesting.
We better get some Sean.
Oh, there has to be some Sean, right?
Well, we have to find out how the bad place is coping with this stuff. Maybe he's just got really scummy people now.
Is the judge going to come back?
Yeah, I think
there's enough time to see people.
I want to see the doorman, like with his frogs.
Yep, Brent.
I don't need to see the Good Place Council again. I love that they ran off. I feel like they're done.
Mm.
But most importantly, Derek.
Yeah, of course.
Where is Derek?
Yeah.
I'd love to see John and Brent and Simone.
Yes.
Some finality on them, but I need to know what happened with Derek because the last time we saw Derek, he was heroically rebooting himself so he could keep things
over
going.
Over and over and over and over
again.
I
haven't seen him since.
Will the neutral place be the place where it's the busiest?
Ooh,
is that where most people
Mindy?
End up? Yeah.
Potentially.
So many places. We don't even have that long to find out. Good place. Oh, sad when we have to stop talking about it. Do you want to do a quiz?
Please.
I reckon you're going to blast through this one with big success rate. It's called How Many Netflix Seasons Did It Get? So TV shows from Netflix.
All right.
Seasons.
All right. Let me get my counting brain on.
Let's go with House of Cards.
Six.
Yeah, six. 2013 to 2018.
Five with him, one with her.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Narcos, so the Pablo Escobar one.
I want to say two.
I thought two. There's apparently three. I thought I finished watching that show, but apparently...
Okay.
The third season is the aftermath once he's gone.
Oh, but who cares?
I definitely didn't watch that.
Me neither.
I watched the two seasons and thought it had finished. And now it's too late. What about Frankie and Grace? That show is always around Netflix.
Yeah. Four, I want to say.
It's got six.
Six.
And it hasn't ended, to my knowledge. Crazy. Daredevil.
Three.
Yeah, you know that one.
I do know that one.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I want to say four.
Yeah. It had the three. It had the three and then they did that. Yeah, so four seasons finishing up last year.
Yes.
Finally, The Punisher.
Two. Mm. Only got two.
Only got two, yeah. I told you.
That's a good quiz.
Whiz through that one.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, bam, 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 bam. If you do have a quiz idea, you can send it to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Or you could write it on a rock.
Yes.
And throw it in a lake.
Whoa.
And maybe I'll be at the bottom of the lake and I'll find that rock.
Always suspect it's going to happen.
I want to make out with a shape of fish. What's a shape of water fish person.
Mm.
That's why I'm going all this lake diving.
Don't we all? On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Merman.